Usually we can take the precepts whenever we think about it. But I've heard you saying in discussions that the moment of refraining, of abstaining from killing or from breaking any other precepts, is the moment when the precepts are taken, not before or where there are no conditions for breaking them. That's when the real test about undertaking the precepts is. And I also remember you saying something like when seeing someone breaking the precept, there can be also the beginning of seeing the danger of it, seeing the danger of akusala and realizing which is not worth, it's not really the case to do them.
What's the best thing for this moment?
Understanding realities as no-self.
Yes, because when we talk about sila, no matter what kind of sila, whether it is 5, 7, or akusala sila, apiyakata sila, all are the behavior of cittas. That's why, even right now, do we have to count how many sila we have, or do we have to go and ask someone, or say to someone that I will observe such and such number of sila? Or any moment when citta is kusala, it has to be one way of sila. No matter it is by way of dana, or by way of sila, or by way of giving, understanding, any moment of kusala. And that's the way to letting go the idea of clinging to concept about many, many matters about words and life, because whatever appears is just once in lifetime, no matter what, never to return. So if we can understand what sila is now, it's better than just try to find out how many sila in this book and what the other books say about that. So now, what kind of sila? Is the sila now? See, and sila is not self. See, this is the best thing to understand in life. When I read many books, on and on, and later and later, I know what is the point of understanding the teachings, just to gradually eliminate the idea of self or clinging to whatever. Because if there is awareness right now, we don't have to think of sila at all. But there is always the understanding that there is no self, to condition more and more understanding. Yesterday we talked about how many cetasikas arising with such citta. See, now do we have to count again? Because we have talked about it already, see. But the more we listen, the more we can see that how many words Buddha said, it's all about leading it to understand whatever appears now as it is. So the numbers of cetasikas are gone to this and this citta, but the understanding of that is why no reality cannot be taken for I at all, no matter it is sampatichana, santirana, how many cetasikas are there. And I think that when we are asked how many citta arising with this and that citta, we have to count, because it's not in our mind how many of them. But we think of the reason why viriya does not arise with such and such, not because of anyone, but as conditions is there to be only that, once in samsara, only that. So how many silas are there now? Many kinds?
Like precepts, like
Patimokkha Samvara Sila, Indriya Samvara Sila, Achiva Parisuddhi Sila, Paccaya Nisitta Sila. See, so many sila and the other aspect, another way to explain about, in order to understand this moment, sila is now. It's not away from this moment, because there is citta, and citta is not known as it is. From moment to moment, it's gone. And what is the best sila? See, we have come to many, many kinds. What is the best? And this sila. See, we come to another word. Yes, Adisila, the highest sila, with understanding of whatever appears now.
Actually, sila can also mean, actually, there are two meanings of sila. Sila can mean refrain, like from doing akusala, and every moment of kusala is also actually sila. Sila.
There's also any, akusala.
Any kind of citta, it's kusala cittas, akusala cittas, even abhyakata cittas of the arhata sila. So not just moments of kusala, even moments of akusala,
yeah.
Is sila. So it's the nature of citta right now.
But but one meaning is that the when kusala or arhata, the kriya of arhata, it's actually sila mean reframing from doing bad through mind, to speed and to action. So whenever akusala arises, already tucharit. How to use the word in English? Tucharit.
Bad conduct.
Bad conduct.
Bad conduct.
Bad,
yes.
Conduct. Even though right now it's even bad
for
conduct.
For the arahat, is there any refraining from anything?
But
are there any virati chetasikas, for example?
Yes.
For the arahat?
Even though they don't have kilate, but nature of
kukus. Is there any virati, virati chetasikas?
Yes,
the right speech, right action, right livelihood, virati chetasikas that abstain from harm in the case of the arahat?
Means, although arahat...
Consider it. Think about it.
Achan, but but it's a sopana tham, and it's... Arahata also can have that sopana tham, right?
Does an arahata have sila?
Yes.
What kind?
Kusala, kriya, apyakata.
There's no abstaining from wrong speech, wrong deeds, because no inclination to speak harshly. So there cannot be any virati chetasikas arising at all for the arahat.
Oh, yeah, because they don't doesn't have that.
There is no inclination. Mm-hmm. So, for example, the abstaining from killing, for example, if there's no inclination or no thought of killing, there cannot be abstaining from it.
Yeah.
But still, we can say any kind of citta, even the kriya cittas of the arahat, each one is referring to the nature of citta, so it's sila.
Yeah. And one word sila mean
abhyakata sila.
Refrain from bad conduct. I mean, right now also everyone have bad conduct. I mean, akusala is the nature of bad
but
conduct.
But is there refraining from bad conduct
no,
now?
No.
Only when there is the opportunity. But every sila can refer to the nature of any kind of citta.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
We can't refer to the virati or the refraining when there isn't an opportunity. Like no one has any thought or there's no possibility of killing at this moment, so there's not refraining from killing now.
Even though the chitta may be akusala.
It may be akusala, but not refraining, not that kind of... Well, if the chitta is akusala, then it's akusala sila, and if the chitta is kusala, it's kusala sila, but it's not virati at that moment because there's no refraining from that kind of bad deed.
Although anagami, they... already, like, even Sotapanna can still say they may, they not lie, they don't speak lie and all that, but they can still speak bad words because the Kilesa in that level didn't eradicate yet.
So for the Sotapanna, can there be virati? So there can be virati refraining from wrong speech. There be virati that refrain from some kinds of wrong speech? Can there be virati that refrains from killing or stealing?
Yes.
For the Sotapanna?
Oh, no. Because they're...
So we have to... That's why, as John says, you have to consider each word carefully when there can be virati.
But like anagami, they don't... They already eradicate, but they still have that lobha, another kind of lobha, like mana and all that. even virati can mean virati to every akusala, even to a tiniest akusala also. Kusala can virati to it. You yeah.
Is this your definition?
One way of definition of seeing, but there are many definitions.
Your way of thinking. No, so one needs to consider carefully what the word virati means in the text.
Yes. Yeah.
Not just
yeah.
make it up.
Yes. Yeah. Does it arise now, virati?
No.
Otherwise one just takes a word and
yeah.
speculates and assumes this and that, so one needs to consider
carefully.
Yeah. It's not a matter of have to be kusala, but we need to consider what the word means, not just assume it's our own idea.
Another point that was brought up by the monk I mentioned before, he said that in the Visuddhimagga, on the section on sila, he said that although there's mentioning of akusala sila and kusala sila in the, I'm not sure, but the in one of the books of the Abhidhamma, but it actually because people mistake and they think that the meaning of the word sila. It's just behavior. So in the sila mentioning, in the section on sila mentioning about sila, the meaning of sila refers only to kusala citta, kusala sila. So do you have any comments?
So this is why we need to consider what is said in all the texts. So often when we're reading about sila, it's referring to kusala sila, like if we're talking about the Eightfold Path, of course it's referring to kusala sila at those moments. But then we can read in other texts, especially in the commentaries, about different kinds of sila, kusala, akusala, abhyakata sila. And if we understand that it really refers to the nature of citta, not just to, like some people think it refers to deeds like giving gifts or something, but these are just conventional ideas. So we always have to understand any of these terms by way of the dhammas. Otherwise it's just a conventional, like about keeping precepts, it's just conventional ideas, but nothing to do with understanding the dhammas involved.
So it's also the way that I understood that passage. But I think for the monk, he took it in a different, totally in a different way. For him, it means that whenever there is refraining, it's already kusala sila.
So people think they have kusala sila all day long, like if the whole day I don't kill an insect, they think it's kusala sila all day long, even at moments of akusala. So we can see how it doesn't make any sense. How can moments of lobha be kusala sila? So it's not the outward appearance, but it's the citta that's...
And there can also be refraining for unwholesome reasons.
I was wondering about keeping the precepts and rites and rituals. I don't know if anybody can see a relationship between both, or how do you say rites and rituals in Pali?
Do you mean keeping the precepts or undertaking the precepts?
Yeah, probably undertaking, right?
Silabhata paramasa, like if one thinks that in order for there to be kusala sila, one should dress in white and should go to the temple and recite about the various undertakings. What are the cittas at those moments? Often it's silabhata paramasa,
yeah,
because one thinks that the dressing in white and going to the place and reciting like a mantra is somehow kusala sila. So it's wrong practice.
Actually, sila, it's come from wrong view also, right? It's had to be base of wrong
view. Conditioned by.
Wrong view. Okay.
This brings us back to Alberto's question originally, which was as I see it, to the effect that when undertaking the precepts, can it be kusala? Or is it kusala, right? So Roti is suggesting that maybe there can be wrong practice.
Yeah, depends on the moment, the chitta at the moment.
If one thinks that it's purer, or the chitta is purer if one dresses in white, is then it has to be a wrong practice or wrong view at that moment. Or if one thinks that by repeating, reciting, I will abstain from killing, if one thinks that just by reciting that somehow it is conditioning kusala chittas or viruti chittas, then that would also be wrong practice.
Alberto mentioned reciting or undertaking the precepts as being a condition for refraining in the future.
I was pointing out that it can be mistakenly taken meaning that, but it's, of course it's not, doesn't mean that at all.
So actually, like all the, let's say, external practices that exist within Buddhism, without the right understanding, they can be rites and rituals, right? Like ordaining, like everything.
Even like at the end of the session when we recite about sharing merit, it can be sila bhatta paramasa too. So it all depends on the chitta and the understanding. Otherwise, if one thinks that just by reciting there will be kusala chittas, or automatically this is the way to have kusala sila, can be. So it depends on the chitta and the understanding.
So what is the meaning of sila bhatta? It's a rite and rituals?
Wrong practice.
Yeah, which means the vata, the cycle, like sila, it's the way it's joined together by way of consonants. You don't say sila vata, you see sila bhatta. So it's just a construction of the grammar, and vata means the cycle of, or doing a certain thing, certain type of behavior.
And sila means behavior, right? It means conduct.
So sila bhatta just on itself, I don't think has to be wrong practice, but when it's sila bhatta paramasa.
Paramasa, that's correct, Sarah. It's the paramasa is the grasping after taking hold of.
Yes, because the sila bhatta, it's actually, I remember coming across it in Sutta Nipata or other contexts where it doesn't have the same meaning. So it's the, as you say, the grasping after that behavior or that way of doing.
Because the Dutangas, the 13 practices that some monks do take up, they're called sila bhatta. But it's not, doesn't have to be paramasa, but it certainly can be.
Everyone have, right? Because everyone still have wrong view.
And that is actually a good example, the Dutangas. Like I remember in Vietnam, some friends talked about monks or nuns or people following the Dutangas, and they have this idea that if they just go and live in the forest and just eat one meal and only have some basic cloth and so on, that somehow there is some wholesome following of the Dutangas. But actually, right from the very beginning, there's no understanding at all. It's all sila bhatta paramasa, not sila bhatta, the Dutangas in the wholesome sense. So it has to be, so it all depends on the understanding.
If our paramasa and sila be akusala and paramasa be bhatta akusala, without the word paramasa?
I suppose because ultimately, Ajahn, I mentioned, will always come down to the chitta, so it's not defined necessarily by the word, but my understanding is the word makes it clearer.
But the sila is what? Kusala or akusala? Can it be only akusala or should it be only kusala? Sila, pratha, pramasa, just word by word, one word at a time.
If all those three words are used together, my understanding is,
yes, but what is sila and then pratha and then pramasa?
Okay, sila, as we know, can be behavior, and vata, meaning just the cycle of, like samsara vata, you know, it's the same word there. It's just the cycle of sila. And the paramasa will usually means it's the taking hold of or the grasping hold, grasping onto.
Okay. I would like to ask Pali teachers. And the paramasa.
Paramasa at the end, that will indicate that it's a kusala.
But without it?
Without it, it doesn't need to be a kusala like the example, the Dutangas, or I read in the Sutta Nipata. So it's sometimes used not in this sense of wrong practice if it's just silabhata.
So anytime when we use the word silapatta pramasa, not only sila pramasa or patta pramasa, but we use both silapatta pramasa,
then it's wrong.
Does it have some a little bit different from sila and patta? And pramasa is all right, it's wrong.
Yes.
But the sila and the patta.
That's okay, can be okay.
Because usually monks have something, responsibility to do in a temple, like sweeping or
vata,
something. That is vata. Is it the same as patta?
Yes, same word.
Actually, yes, no, different
I
at all?
I believe it's the same word, yeah.
So it's different from sila.
Yes.
Because...
It will depend, I think, Ajahn, on the context too. That's my understanding. If we saw those two words, we'd have to look at the context and see other words there with it, and that would help us also. But as we talked about earlier on, silabhata is the case of the dutanga practices is can be wholesome, it doesn't have to be.
Can be, sila can be.
Sila can be, and silabhata.
And vata can be.
Yes.
What's the difference between the two, sila and vata?
Well, I think it's just an amplification or of the word.
Vata here does mean vata samsara.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. But it's like in the case of that word, Ajahn, if you say refer to samsara and samsara vata, you're referring virtually to the same thing. It's just another way of saying the same thing. Samsara or samsara vata, it's just the cycle of it. Similar words. And the same with sila and silabhata, it's just a similar word. But it's used just like that. That's my understanding.
What did he say that the...
sila is one word, vata is another word.
And what
and
does
when
the
they go together, sila, vata, it's not right or wrong yet.
No.
But when there is paramasa.
That's what I said at the start, yes. Yeah. It was just the sila, vata. It's used in many different contexts, like paramasa. In the Vinaya or the Sutta Nipata, so not referring to any rituals.
Paramasa means to cling.
Paramasa. So now we are talking about silapata paramasa, the word. Not sila, not vata, and not paramasa.
I think it means something like understanding behavior in the wrong way, right? Or like behaving with a wrong understanding.
Now, we understand what sila is, right? The behavior of citta. But when it's behavior, it's not only through mind or what about words and speech, the behavior of words and speech too. So when it is sila of monks, it is sila, behavior through speech and deeds, right? But when it is not the rule of monks, there is also sila and patta, like what you better do to your parents or so forth, that is patta. And pramasa, that is not kusala. So when they go together, sila, patta, pramasa, any form of akusala, which is akusala sila, and also the akusala responsibility or duties or whatever it is, and pramasa is wrong. But I have to ask the word pramasa again from Kun, whether it has other meaning or not.
But it have to associate with wrong word, like sila pa.
Sila, one word, patta, another word, and pramasa.
Yeah, but these three words have to associate with wrong word, right?
When there is pramasa, we don't take it for kusala.
Yeah, but it can be akusala without wrong view, or it has to come from a wrong view.
Because when there's no wrong view, there's no more right.
It's behavior that is conditioned by wrong view, so that it always goes together with wrong view, like the example of sharing merit. So it's sila bata no matter what kind of cheetahs. But if, because it's the behavior of cheetahs at those moments, and it's sila bata paramasa, if it is performed like a ritual, thinking that this is the way for kusala or understanding to arise, or if one goes to the temple and dresses in white, it's sila bata, but it depends on the view, whether there's any wrong view or not. So it's not the outer appearance, it's the kind of way of thinking.
Because they said that sotapanna already eliminate wrong view and sila vata paramasa.
Together, always together.
So
yes.
This means have to associate.
It's always conditioned by wrong view, okay. Yeah. So it's a paramasa, it's clinging with wrong view.
In the text, they mention about three kinds of abstaining. One is abstaining by taking up the precepts. And the second one, I'm not sure, seeing the danger of akusala. And the third one, by abandoning. So the third one, we understand it to be abandoning by the matgachita of the Arya ones. But I'm not sure about the two first. So if you could help to comment.
It's one by one. The first one.
Abstaining by taking up the precepts.
Without seeing the benefit or know what is kusala, can there be such abstaining?
No. But it is because...
So it's not just follow the word by saying, I'll take refuge, something like that, or I'll abstain from that and then?
I think in my understanding, it's like someone who have come to listen to the Dharma and hear someone explain that killing is dangerous, it's harmful, and stealing, etc. And after that, it conditioned the abstaining. It's what I
understanding.
Okay, so what then would be the difference between that one and the second kind?
Is there any understanding hearing the word abstaining from killing?
Should be, there
so
should be.
There is the understanding of the benefit of abstaining from killing.
Mm-hmm. Now I remember the second one is.
I'm wondering if the person who hasn't heard the Dhamma though could also have the first kind of abstaining. Because it is their nature. They abstain because it's their nature to understand the danger of akusala and to
see the benefit of
stealing.
Yeah.
What if I say, don't kill, will you kill? Just I say, don't kill, will you or do you kill? See?
In the Pali English Dictionary, Ajahn, we have touching, contact, being attached to, hanging on, being under the influence of.
Sorry, which word?
This is paramasa, Dhammasangani translation 316, and also an ASL translation. Buddhaghosa analyzes the word as he often does, and he analyzes it as parato amasantiti paramasa. Paramasa means they handle dhammas as other than what they really are. Example, they transgress the real meaning of anicca, etc., and they say nicca. Hence the rendering in ASL as reversion, or in dialogues, it's translated, you know, in the Dika Nikaya, it's translated as perverted.
So the point is it's the wrong or the perverted way of looking at the behavior or clinging to the behavior.
As far as I know too, when the dutangas are undertaken, they should be done quietly. You know, you don't tell anybody. And there's that very famous case in the Vasuddhi Magga of two brothers, one was a bhikkhu, and one undertook the dutangas, and his brother visited him in the cave. The one in the cave was undertaking the no sleeping one. He only just slept sitting up in the cross-legged position. And during the night, a bolt of lightning exposed him sitting up, and he asked his brother if he was a sitter, meaning he didn't lie down. And he just, at that moment, he lay down.
I just checked, and now I think the second kind of abstaining, it's abstaining because of tradition or name. So I think it's like what you said, because in the family, if there's education that...
Are you talking about the three kinds of verity?
Yes.
Yes, the three kinds of verity. So refraining from doing certain deeds because it's family tradition and one's been told to do it. And one is...
Taking up the precepts.
Taking up the precepts. And one is the...
By abandoning pahana.
Pahana, actually abandoning the kusala. So it's referring to just path moments.
And what does Sajjan think about not following family traditions?
I think about virati, when will it arise, or when does it arise? Because we try to understand reality better than just words. When we read many, many books, or just one passage, or just one word, it depends on one's understanding, whether one really understands it or not. Or just think about it by word, only by that word. But what about its reality? That's why even virati, it is the cetasika which arises to abstain as soon as or whenever it arises.
And they have to be sobana cetasikas. So if one's just refraining from killing because it's family tradition and no kusala at those moments, then it cannot be virati. And the same with like any other kind of abstention. If one just makes a resolution that one abstains from this or that, and it just can be just like attachment to being a good person or something like that, but it's not virati, the sobana cetasika at those moments.
So cetana is not virati. Cetana is cetana, and virati is virati.
So probably virati is not... It doesn't have to be related to a kusala karma, right?
Virati is sobana cetasika. It abstains when it arises.
If there is nothing to abstain from, like if there is no opportunity to speak harshly, like if one's living on one's own in the forest following the Dutanga practices and there are no opportunities to speak harshly, then there cannot be that kind of verity. So it has to be when there is the opportunity for that kind of akusala to arise. That's why for the arahat, no verity cetasika.
Even for anagami also, because they also eliminate all that.
Or attachment to
sense. Yes, but speaking harshly or killing are akusala kama, right? But family traditions don't precisely have to be akusala kama. Let's say... having two wives or whatever family tradition is there. And so
that's why one...
So why would it be virati if you're not abstaining from something which is akusala karma? That's what I mean.
Sotapanna can still speak bad, but their speaking harsh is not that level of karma, because it's not going to make them reborn in the lower...
Yes, but I'm speaking about family tradition.
So when it mentions about abstaining because of family tradition, but like Ajahn said, one has to consider carefully if one understands that the virati cetasika just arises at certain moments of abstaining from akusala, and that it has to be the sobana cetasika, then it's not, for example, at moments of following rites and rituals with wrong view. It cannot be virati at those moments. Like one's family may go to the temple and dress white and one follows with wrong understanding that this is the way. Well, there can't be virati at those moments. So it has to be with kusala cittas at those moments. Otherwise it can't be virati. But it may not be with understanding.
So I wonder what actually they mean by family traditions.
Do you follow, or you just be yourself, not to follow?
Well, I prefer to be myself.
Because you see that who can tell that moment, just exact moment, when you follow, whether you follow with respect for your parents or other reason, or you just want to follow to keep tradition.
That's a good example, I think, of John, with taking care of one's parents.
No, she didn't say take care of one.
Yeah. She said that you follow the tradition because of respect of your parents.
Yes.
And that doesn't mean taking care of your parents, that's something else.
For instance, your parents say, dress in white, and right. You dress, it's all right.
Yeah, it
doesn't mean that you follow the tradition that you will by your own understanding. So it depends on citta. Can you wear white with kusala?
Yes.
You're asking about abstaining out of family tradition, is that right?
Yeah. Or like I'm keeping my this is get. I'm just doing because my mother.
Family tradition, so it can be with kusala citas, yes.
What about abstaining out of family tradition?
Well, it may be skillful, it may be not, it will depend upon the citta.
What's your question? What about what? Abstaining from family traditions?
Your question?
Well, I think the best part would be to abstain from family traditions.
With what kind of citta?
I cannot know. It has to be known in the moment, right?
It depends on citta at that moment. Nobody knows
right.
At all.
Abstaining from sexual misconduct? Well, that wouldn't be traditional, but out of regard for the family name, I think is what it means. Abstaining out of regard for the good repute of the family. Well, it could be gusala, it could not be. It doesn't need to be gusala. But if it's gusala, then that would be what it is referring to.
Well, it could be refraining from harsh speech because one has been taught like this by one's family. It's the family tradition to refrain from speaking harshly. So this may be how one's learnt. And it can be kusala or akusala, but like it says, when going through, it's not as strong as when it's right understanding of Dharma that leads to abandoning. So it may be just refraining from, like a child may learn not to speak harshly by their family, by the family tradition. So sometimes kusala citta, sometimes akusala citta, but kusala citta is not the way that leads to abandoning, but it's still restraining at that moment. Can be, of course.
We are referring to general reputation.
If the person reflects on why it should be like that, and that it can be become, although it's for the family tradition, but it also comes from his or her own understanding of what is harmful and what is not.
Yeah. They may have been taught why it's harmful, and they may have learnt this from the family tradition. Right. Like Vincent teaches daughter why it's good to be generous and why it's good to speak politely and to refrain from speaking harshly. So the child learns and reflects depending on what kind of kusala.
Just on minor points, when you said that for the anagami, no more virati, I think there's still virati, abstaining from speaking a frivolous talk, right?
Anagami doesn't have.
Because has he eradicated the frivolous talk?
Yes. Well, a judge. Okay, a judge. So that part anagami.
Who knows who anagami? Yeah. The person who does have kilesa at all will have no elites. Speech.
Yeah, anyway, no more attachment to sense objects.
mana and attached to the how the hope means the living being, how one, like in Brahma, Anagami Brahma can still attach as the way they're living as a Brahma.
I had a question which I just was discussing with Tam. We were talking about the Satipatthana Sutta and understanding cheetahs, and yesterday Dhammesu Dhammanupassi, and it mentions contemplating dhammas as dhammas, and then his mind becomes concentrated, samadhiyati, corruptions abandoned, upakalesa pahyanti, and then he picks up the sign tam nimitta ogan hati. So it's referring to when the kalesa are abandoned and picking up the sign, so it's not the sign of nibbana because nibbana doesn't have a sign. Is it referring to, I suppose it's referring to the sign of anicca dukkha or anatta of reality, or what is meant by the nimitta here?
What are you talking about? What level?
Well, here it's talking about the level when the kalesa are abandoned, because it says his mind
completely or contemporarily or absolutely.
Well, it just says his mind becomes concentrated and the upakalesa pahyanti, so the upakalesa are abandoned, and he picks up that sign.
If there is not yet upakalesa, can anything arise to abandon it?
No. Mm-hmm. So when it says picks up the sign, he knows what has been abandoned, so it's the sign of what has been realized or abandoned.
It's the development and the progress of panya.
Still. So it's just referring to the kalesa that are abandoned at that time. But the sign, the nimitta referred to, is this referring to, for example, when there's the reviewing consciousness and knowing those kalesa abandoned?
As long as it's not there to be known, there never be a moment of understanding. Mm. But now,
yes,
can we think about abandoning wrong understanding from hearing and seeing?
No, right, only by developing understanding.
Yes, we talk about developing, but now, see, just
yes,
now.
Yes.
So how?
Yes,
see, panya develops moment. On and on and on.
And it's the nimitta of what appears now, and so at that point too, it must be obviously at the moment of abandoning, there's no nimitta of the object, so that was...
So abandoning what?
The defilements.
No nimitta of the defilement.
So it must be the sign of the defilement. So there's the knowing of the defilements abandoned at that time.
Actually, it's not the word, but the moment of taking it. For example, the way to be enlightened to the degree of sotapanna, not abandoning anything else except now.
Yes.
Is there any?
Yeah. I think that's clear.
I have a question. For example, yesterday I saw a tree, the visible object, and then thinking it and see it as a tree. And then let's say today I remember it, the image of the tree is appear clearly in the mind. So that moment is remember the nimitta of the visible object or the concept of the tree that is created after the seeing. Is it clear, the question?
Now, you're talking about now.
Yeah, image of the tree now.
No metri or what? Yeah. Exactly the same for each moment.
Yeah.
So it's the idea of the tree, the concept about the tree now. So right now, when there's thinking about the tree now, is it nimitta or is it concept that's experienced?
The concept?
The concept, the idea about it.
And is that tree now?
No.
See, our concept about this shape and form and the other, nimitta. So one lives in the world of concept all the time when there's no understanding.
So if there were not the nimitta of what is seen now, then there couldn't be the concepts about Nina and cups and microphones and trees. So it depends on the nimitta, what kind of thinking of what concepts there will be. The memory of various nimitta, which conditions that thinking about different concepts.
Without experiences, can there be nimitta?
No, Ajahn.
Can there be concept?
No.
So it might depends be. On citta, that which experiences.
I'm not sure if at all you are satisfied with the answer. It's the remembering of the nimitta, or remember the idea of the concept. For example, when we're thinking about concept, when we talk about pasa, contact, the object, but we also say concept does not exist. So at that time, when we say pasa, contact the concept, I always thought it's actually contact the nimitta, which is the basis for the conceptualization.
Does pasa arise with every citta?
Yes.
So whatever its experience, no matter right. its reality, no matter its nimitta of reality, no matter its concept, pasa right. must be arising and contacting that object right. at each moment.
But when we say sanya mark, I thought we mark the sanya mark the nimitta of the realities.
It marks whatever is experienced by citta. So even at a moment of seeing now, sanya marks what is seen. At a moment of thinking, it marks what is thought about. At a moment of understanding, it marks what is understood. So it marks whatever is experienced at each moment, and pasa contacts whatever is experienced in order for that seeing to see, or that and that sanya to mark.
So in a dream, we may dream something we never saw before. And that means that nimitta was actually not taken before.
Only right? in this life. Huh? Only in this life.
Only in this life.
Who knows what experiences there were before? Who knows what sanya marked ages ago? What thinking thought about before?
Okay. So it's still based on prior nimitta then? I mean, in the dream, there could be crazy imagination.
Just like now.
Right.
Just like now. Exactly.
Okay.
But there's no seeing, no actual seeing, no actual hearing. But nimitta is nimitta when citta is there and think about it.
Right. Because I was puzzled about this when we were in Dala about, because concept cannot be a conditioned.
It's aramanapajya.
Yeah, it can be so it's conditioned the citta to arise.
It doesn't only by way of being yeah. aramana.
Right.
So it just means that the thinking thinks about it. That's all.
Right.
It doesn't mean it does anything.
But it can, because it does not arise. It's not conditioned to arise. So when we remember a tree, I still thought it's because all the nimitta, we remember the nimitta. Not directly to the concept itself.
Like now or in a dream, seeing sees different physical objects, hearing hears different sounds and so on, and sanya marks each object, each nimitta of whatever is experienced. And then thinking can think about anything depending on conditions, like Tom reminded me about an elderly lady in Vietnam who likes to work in the fields, and afterwards I closed my eyes and I dreamt I was in the field with her. So it's just the moments of seeing, moments of hearing, moments of thinking, and then thinking about different kind of fantasies. Who can say why at that moment it was thinking about that story and not another story? All we can say is that thinking is conditioned by countless sanyas in the past, and depending on what vitaka experiences at that time, all by conditions. No point to think or speculate, or why exactly did I think that I was in the field at that moment with that elderly lady? It's useless. Yeah. Just all we know is the conditions to think like that. Yeah. So it's just like now, like why thinking about the checked shirt you're wearing when I'm talking to you, just because Sanya is marking at each moment of seeing, and it conditions Vitaka to think about this or that object by accumulations and other conditions.
Okay, but I'll try one more time, because I'm curious, but not really that curious. When we think about a mental image, a memory, like my father in the past, and then the mental image does appear, but it cannot, it is not conditioned. But why is there? Because of what is there, the mental image?
Because that thinking has been conditioned by the sanya to think in that particular way. Like right now, for everyone, the thinking is thinking about different objects because of different accumulations, different sanyas marking different objects, different vitakas touching different objects. So no point to say why that one, why not the other one.
It's also marked the concept, right? Sanya also marked the concept. Yes. But also at the same time, the concept cannot be conditioned to appear.
But the sanya is conditioned to arise.
But the sanya is conditioned to arise. The sanya about that object.
And the sanya that marked the concept is conditioned to arise, and that's why that image appears, right?
Yes.
And not necessary. Because like this, I want to explain that, you know, in a dream also we have some weird thoughts which never arise in reality. Maybe it's a concept or whatever. I mean, like thinking, can think anything, you know, something or some kind of weird strange thought which sanya never even marked that also. I mean, I think because it's all up to condition. I mean, although what the object experience is either dhamma or not or whatever, but everything is by condition, and you can't in a dream, like example, like right now we are just thinking of what we're seeing, hearing and all day, because day going on and all. But when we sleep, sometime I have such a weird thought that I never experienced this before. Maybe some kind of weird, some stupid, I'm just saying, it's mean that all are by condition and we don't know, because the mind is so deep and complicated. In the end, we can't say what condition it. It can be anything.
Yeah, it's by condition, but the concept cannot be the conditioned. Concept is not conditioned, but concept appear.
But it is a condition. Aramana pachaya, because
it can condition dhamma, but it is not conditioned.
The concept, the idea, is just the aramana of thinking. It's not real, it's not a reality, so it can't be conditioned. It's just that which is thought about.
But it can be a condition.
Yes,
right.
Only by way of being aramana, object, just that which is experienced, that's all.
But it's the thinking about, in your example, the father, that is conditioned.
Image.
No, thinking about the father.
Thinking is conditioned, right? Yeah. But the image appears.
What you call the image is just concept, just an
concept,
idea.
Right.
Yeah.
And that appears because of...
Because you're conditioned to think about your father. So therefore an image appears. What's so unusual about that? Things we're attached to, for example, or have an interest in, we will think about. And when we think about them, there will be an image.
Because the thinking experience the concept, and they, at the same time, right?
The thinking has a concept as object. Huh? Yes.
In this case, the thinking has the concept as the object.
Right.
Fathers, the image of the father.
Could be with or without an image, yes. Because it's the thinking that's conditioned.
Thinking is conditioned.
Yeah.
But that object, the thinking experienced, cannot be conditioned if it's concept.
The thinking conditions its own object at that moment.
Well, that's the part I'm confused. The thinking condition is object.
It imagines its object.
Creates the object.
It thinks about an object.
Can you think about something that has never been experienced before?
Yeah. You can think about anything. Yeah, you can think about any, like pink elephant we talk about on DSG.
If I say tree, you have an image of a tree. Because you're conditioned to think about a tree. So some mental image of a tree will appear.
Because of Sanya, right? Sanya must have. If you think about the tree you thought yesterday, then that must be involved with the Sanya that marked the Nimitta yesterday.
Well, as to which particular image appears, that's another question. But what is the thing that puzzles you about it?
I think that it's the same as Thai's question. When we remember the tree we saw yesterday, it's because we remember the concept or we remember the limiter.
Can thinking think about anything?
No.
Why not?
They are four unthinkable, right?
Thinking can think about anything.
Yeah, can imagine anything, yeah. Can think about anything, yes.
So, what's the question?
The question is, because concept is not conditioned.
Because thinking can think of anything.
Because thinking can think of anything.
So but no matter it's thinking about the image of your father, or thinking about the tree, or thinking about purple elephant, it's just thinking at this moment.
Right, it is thinking of the moment, but
it's the object of thinking.
Right, the object of the thinking, why?
So thinking and think about anything.
Yes, that's fine. That's no problem.
Anything, look, it's like this. It's more use to talk. I mean, we can think of anything whichever not see, any idea, any object, whether it's concept, blah, 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 loka, or anything, can think of anything, whether Sanya has experience or not. Like, I'm just saying in a dream, we have weird thoughts. Or right now, also, it can have something of blah, blah, blah shape, which we have never seen also. I mean, it's all by condition. And the concept, whether it's concept or not, whether like whether it's Dharma, concept, blah, 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 it's all by condition. And we don't know. Dharma is so deep. We can't come and say that it's conditioned by Sanya before, previously, because any object can be the object of thinking. Thinking can think of something, blah, blah, blah. Like.
Vincent, I think that's why Achan initially, in response to Thay's question, was like now. I mean, right now there's seeing, there's marking visible object, marking nimitta, and marking concept. Right? There's thinking now, and it's being marked.
Why is something that never exists can be marked?
Why?
But that's a different question. Object can be marked. That's fine. I can take that. But concept cannot be conditioned. If concept cannot be conditioned, when it appears, and then why it's how it appears if it's not conditioned?
Is concept real?
No.
So can it have any condition to make it real?
It can be Aramana condition. It cannot be.
You said concept is not real.
No, it's not real.
That's why no condition to condition it to be.
Appear.
To arise.
To
be a reality.
Yes, yes. But
what
it
is
appear.
Conditioned is the thinking.
Because it's not conditioned.
It doesn't arrive.
It's not conditioned, it does not arrive, but it appears as the object.
Because of thinking. Let's look at Kunsara now and think that she's going to change to be a tree.
What? Okay.
We can think about anything.
Yes, yes,
see?
Yes.
That is concept.
That's kind of thinking I have no problem, because that's already have based. I have already information, visible data coming in, and with all the imagination.
And now there is thinking.
Yes, that's
so
thinking.
So it's only thinking. No matter the thing about concept, whether it's conditioned or unconditioned.
I mean, thinking can think of anything, right?
Yes, yes. When concept is thought about, that concept is being Aramana condition, right? Pachaya. Yeah.
Concept is the object of thinking.
Yeah. So at that time, it is the object condition.
Yes. One at a time.
Right.
And then, And then, but why that concept appears?
It's not real.
It's not real, but it's appears.
So no conditions to make it real.
No.
When you say it appears, what do you mean?
It becomes the object to so be thought about.
Your question is, why is a particular concept the object of thinking?
No, now why this one or the other one? No, I mean, it's more like still back to Thay's question. When we remember a tree or a person, that's because the sanya that mark all the information about that person or that tree is remembered.
I think it's enough to just say right now there's thinking and it's conditioned. There can be understanding right now. Thinking is reality. It doesn't matter what it thinks about, whether it's about purple elephants or Sarah turning into a tree or blue-tailed coat. It's all equally useless. But the thinking is real and there can be, it has a characteristic, it appears, there can be direct understanding of that reality, even right now.
Right,
and then at that time, when there's understanding of thinking or seeing, there's no kind of thought about why isn't there thinking about blue tablecloths and why is it this or how is it that they're thinking now in this way and not that way. It's all taking one away from actually understanding what appears right now.
That's fine, yes. I'm good with that, yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether, like you say, well, there's an image of my father because I knew my father, but there isn't an image of the tree that Thay looked at because I haven't looked at it. But it doesn't really matter. There can be an image of the purple elephant or anything. Who knows? It just depends on accumulated sanya and vitaka as it what it thinks about. And if one tries to think about, well, why is it like about this one and that one, it's just endless thinking and speculation. It doesn't bring one any closer to understanding.
I didn't mean why this one, not that one. That's not,
but
not
why,
what I'm confused.
Why is it one that has to have been experienced before and not one that hasn't? And
It's more like how, why it appear, the concept appear.
It's the same question. Whether you call it why or how, it's just the same.
Can you think of an elephant with nine trunks?
Yeah.
Can
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's only if you think it's there. Actually, it's because you think about it. If I would say three trunks, you think about what?
Three trunks?
Yeah. Yeah, but no elephant with three trunks.
In this life?
No, I mean, yeah.
And you say how, and it's just because like right now Jan was talking about the elephant with three trunks, so instantly there's hearing of sounds, hearing the nimitta of the sound, and instantly thinking about imagining elephant with three trunks. So it just depends on vitaka at that moment to think about what has just been marked and remembered.
Yeah, the like chitta can start to imagine, can start to do the painting. Right?
Because thinking.
Yeah, because thinking can do all
the... 10 or 9 yeah. trunks.
Yeah, can do all imagination, sure. I have
but
no
actually,
question with that.
Actually, no reality of elephant with three trunks.
No, that means somehow...
If you don't think... If there's no thinking about that. But when there is thinking about 5, another idea. 10, another idea.
Right.
So it depends on thinking.
Yes.
And imagining.
Right.
It's all end up back condition. Like I'm saying, do you ever feel that when you dream and you think of something weird which you never even experienced in real life? Can be there like you, their circle, rectangle, can they be there's like some weird...
The question blood is shape. Not about the chitta can do all amazing work. I have no problem with that. The chitta thinking can do any kind of magical painting work. But it's more like...
we can ask Achan. The question is, can we say of concept... when it's object of chitta, that it appears the same way as we say visible object appears.
It appears to what?
To the chitta.
Only at moment of thinking only. So it depends on thinking.
It's just that which is experienced at that moment. It's the aramana, that's all.
It's not a dhamma, but it's the aramana object. If there's no object, then when citta arrives, there have to be something what citta experienced with, mean object is experienced by citta, right? Like seeing consciousness has to have color as an object of it. But color is a dhamma. But when thinking, right, thinking has a concept of as an object, and that concept is the aramana pachaya for the thinking citta at the moment. Whatever concept, whether it's sanya, whether you can think of weird shape, blah blah blah, whether you have experience or not, whether you have remember or whether sanya mark or whether nimitta or never, that moment it all arrives by condition, and we don't know also what condition.
When one thinks about the five trunks, is there five trunks?
In the mind.
Really? Is there?
There means thought about.
Only that.
Only thought about.
You can think about anything.
So yes, citta can do all of
no condition anything. To condition the five trunks at all, because actually it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
The elephant with five trunks, mm-hmm. is not real. So but you can think about an elephant with five trunks. So what conditioned the five trunks?
Thinking, imagining.
So it's not real.
No.
And that is object of thinking. Thinking can think about anything.
Right, right. I'm good with
no
this part.
No condition for five trunks.
Yeah.
So you don't have any question about an elephant with five trunks?
No.
So the question is just why does...
How would you put your question in terms of the example that John has just given?
No question with the five trunk is because I'm fine that citta can do all the amazing work, mm-hmm. all the amazing imagination because of thinking. But the question about remembering.
And if you don't remember five trunks, there's no five trunks. It does mean that what conditioned five trunk? No five trunk at all, it's only object of thinking.
Nothing can condition a five trunk, right?
When you think about it, it's there.
But it's not conditioned, it's imagined.
It's the object of thinking.
Right. It's object of thinking, still, but it's still not conditioned.
It's still remembering.
Because no elephant with five trunks.
The object can condition the other reality, but it's not conditioned.
It's still remembering too.
It's still remembered by sanya.
Yes. Sanya, that's what sanya does.
Yes.
But no five trunks, no matter you think or sanya think about. Even sanya remember and think about that.
Trunk, yeah.
Can it condition one trunk?
Can what condition one trunk?
You think about what condition concept?
No, nothing condition concept.
So concept is not real, it's not conditioned?
No. Right. But it can be remembered.
As object of thinking.
Right, it can be remembered and then become the object, pachaya.
It can be remembered and what?
The concept can be remembered, right?
It can
object,
be marked, yes.
Yeah, it can be remembered.
What do you mean, recalled?
Oh, recalled.
Well, it's not the same concept though, is it?
Not the same concept. Well, they say, all dharma are anatta. That's a concept. And it can be recalled. It can be remembered to reflect on.
Those words can
be
remembered.
Yeah, those words can be remembered, but yes, that's concept.
Yes, but you're not recalling the same thing, are you?
Recalling the same concept, all dharma are anatta.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same concept.
Well, no, every time a concept appears,
well, the thinking can be
it can mean something different.
Right, that's because thinking is different. Yeah. It can be with
whatever's
wisdom.
Conditioned for thinking to think about, it thinks about. It's not recalling the same thing.
it's not recording the same sin, but why all Dhamma are anatta? The concept, there's no concept, it's just concept. Because thinking are so different, so it can be accumulation of banya or not. I mean, when we recall all Dhamma are anatta, when we remember this sentence.
When you say we recall it, we just think it. And we think it because memory is performing its function, but it's not like we're recalling a particular set of words.
So that's the same, that's then back to the initial question. We recall a nimitta or we recall a concept directly.
I don't think that's the question at all.
That's the question, that's a Thai's question.
Yes.
Right? Thai not in the head.
Yeah. Whatever has been marked can be recalled.
Because concept make a difference. We don't think concept make a difference, right? Concept does not make a difference.
When a concept, when anything is recalled, it's so many different moments anyway. It's not just one concept that's recalled. It's so many different moments of thinking.
Yes.
Sanyet, so, each moment marking and remembering, so you don't even have to use the word recall, because sanyet is performing its function at every moment and conditioning vitaka to touch different objects, thinking in different ways about anything. So thinking about all dhammas are anatta is because of sanya, which has marked and remembered all these sounds countless times and conditions thinking to think like that at those moments. That's all. And it's the same at any moment. Whatever is thought about, it just depends on the marking and remembering at each moment. It's not like there's anything else that is done or just remembering and thinking with citta and vitaka and other cetasikas at each moment.
Vincent, sorry. I have exactly the same question in the Vietnamese discussion the day before yesterday with Thumbet. And we mentioned about all the speculation is not about the for understanding the realities. But whatever we just discussed here, I agree with all the explanation, but now back to the Ajahn said, thinking can think about anything. It can be what we see or what we heard or what new thing we never seen before, like a new iPhone or new thing. It can be anything, right? So I would like to have more understanding about what the characteristic of the thinking that we are talking about.
The main dhamma that we're talking about is vitaka. And when we talk about vitaka cetasika, and when we talk about a whole situation, remembering the iPhone or the image of my father, we're not talking about realities.
Sorry.
So this point can never be understood just by thinking about that situation. But when we understand more about the nature of dhammas, such as vitaka at this moment.
Okay.
So we were discussing the other day, when does vitaka arise? Which kind of cittas does it arise with? Because otherwise we think of a story about, oh, I'm thinking of my father's image, or I'm thinking about iPhones. But actually, there are just different cittas arising throughout the day. Almost all of them, apart from moments of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, accompanied by vitaka. We can call it thinking, but vitaka is even arising with those other cittas in the sense door process. And in the mind door process, it's arising with every single citta. So it's just citta arising with vitaka touching the object, which there are accumulations to touch and think about, conditioned by sanya and other factors. And this is the only way to really understand more about what is thinking at this moment. So it's just citta with thinking, with vitaka and other citta seekers, with any kind of object. We discussed the other day that Dhamma Ramana means any object can be experienced, reality or concept,
makes sense.
Anything. So it has to come back to now, and it has to come back to the understanding of citta, cetasika, and rupa. Otherwise, we just go round and round in circles and speculate about this situation or that, but not actually understand. It's just citta right now with vitaka experiencing kind of concept.
Okay.
And it's no importance what that concept is.
Right. Yeah, that is a very clear answer, that around, around, and around.
Yeah.
On the thing arise, because that's not very clear.
So it just now comes back to understanding citta and cetasika at this moment. Not I'm thinking about this or I'm dreaming about that.
Makes
just
sense.
Conditions for different kind of cittas, different vitakas to arise at different moments.
I have a question to Vincent. So you said that your question was whether it's nibbita or concept that is experienced at the moment of thinking about your father or a tree, right?
Concept is experience.
Yeah.
It's but
so, so what was the, I don't know, what was the question?
The question was...
Because you mentioned nimitta as well, so...
Well, let's say we can just use vitaka. Vitaka touch the nimitta or vitaka touch the concept when the image appear. So the answer is concept directly. But at the same time, concept is not conditioned to arise. So that's why we were thinking about if the vitaka contact the nimitta first and then before the concept. Then Ajahn gave the five trunk example because you never really touch the realities. So it's purely imagined concept. I'm good with that.
I would say that concept are not conditioned. You agree with that?
Right, right.
So they have no characteristic? Do you agree with that?
No.
They have no function? Do you agree with that?
No. No.
They have no manifestation? Do you agree with that?
No.
Mm-hmm. And approximate cause either?
No, but that's... But concepts still make a difference. If you hear all Dhamma Anatta, if you never hear of this concept, there's no way to think with wisdom.
What do you mean concepts make a difference?
We say concept is not real, right? And then it's thinking that really matters, thinking with wisdom or with akusala. But if we never heard about the Buddha's words, which is concept, that kind of thinking cannot arise. The banya can never start to accumulate again. So in this case, can concept make a difference?
No.
Vincent, can we think when we talk something like this? When vitaka, we're saying about it touching the object, right? But can we say like the experiencing of the vitaka on the object, but the object maybe real or not real, it doesn't matter, but just about the characteristic of thinking about of the like a vitaka about something not have to be real, and it just happened like that, the characteristic of the vitaka.
Right, that's fine. That part is fine. Yeah.
Can I just go back to your question about hearing the Dhamma? Concepts are necessary to communicate meaning. That doesn't mean that concepts make a difference. You can't say that it's the concept that makes a difference. They're just a necessary part of life in samsara. There couldn't be life in samsara without concepts.
Right, right. But without the concept of the Buddha's word, without the Buddha's words, how can the banya start to accumulate again?
It's not the concept of the words that's relevant, it's
both.
The meaning.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's the meaning.
And a concept is necessary to communicate
meaning.
You can't hear the Dhamma without concepts.
Understanding of that meaning.
Yes.
Like there are lots of words in the books, but if there's no understanding, then it's of no value. So the concept is just the object of thinking or considering or understanding rightly or wrongly.
Right.
So it's the right considering of those concepts that conditions the understanding, not the words themselves.
Right. There need to be accumulated understanding to understand and appreciate the Buddha's word. But on the other hand, also without the Buddha's word heard or studied, that there's no chance for the accumulated understanding to grow again.
Do those words Are they a condition by in any other way except as aramana paccaya?
Yeah, except aramana paccaya.
How? What other condition? How do they condition understanding except as aramana paccaya?
There is accumulated understanding when the Buddha's word being the object condition.
So it's the object condition.
Right.
So it's the understanding that accumulates, not the understanding of those words, of those concepts right. that accumulates,
so if
not the words themselves.
If thinking about other teachers' word, it would not condition the banya to arise. So Buddha's word still is required.
No, the meaning, the understanding has to be conveyed.
Yes,
so
right.
That's all.
That's just one part of the experience. But because citta experience an object. The thinking, think about the object. So you're thinking with...
It's not the Buddha's actual words. Anyway, it's the way those words are explained that's important.
Especially...
Hmm.
Especially the Buddha's qualities, Buddha's paramis, and that's what's really important. More than the words is... the realities which he has accumulated over all the eons in which he accumulated all the paramis, which allowed him to teach the Dhamma with concepts. But without all the paramis of a Buddha, even if there are the right words, there is no... no teachings, because it's not the words which are the teachings, but the understanding. And without the understanding, the words are useless. Even the words.
Without the understanding, the word is useless.
Right. If you or I look at the Thai Tipitaka, it's totally useless.
Right.
So the words are of zero value whatsoever. So it's the understanding of the concepts that conditions more understanding, not the words.
Then what is the meaning of turning the wheel?
What?
Dhamma wheel. So that make a difference.
What's the difference?
Without Buddha explaining the Dhamma.
Where is Dhamma?
Huh?
Where is Dhamma?
Now, here.
So he explained about what is there now.
Yes, yes. But there need to be understanding to appreciate that. But without hearing now, Dhamma is here now. Then also, even if there's understanding, someone out there without hearing
understanding
is,
what? The word or the reality?
Realities. Mm-hmm. There could be someone has accumulated very good understanding out there in Europe, never heard about the Dhamma. No chance to grow.
Understanding what?
Realities. As
this
anatta.
This woman as anatta.
Yeah, right, right. Okay, let me try my point the last time. And then we can pass. When there is understanding to appreciate Dhamma now as anatta.
Dhamma, don't forget. Not
Dhamma.
Word.
Yes, Dhamma, the reality, the sound. The
here.
Thinking and here, now. Right. But someone, again, someone could be out there with very good accumulation of the past life of understanding, but never heard about the explanation of Dhamma, never heard about the concept of all Dhamma. They are only Dhammas and they are anatta. No chance for that person to grow, accumulate more banya. So the concept make a difference.
If there's no understanding, the concepts make no
we need
difference
both.
At
we need
all.
Both.
What makes a difference is they have the opportunity to hear the Dhamma. Explained.
That's the difference,
yeah.
Right? They don't
yeah,
have that.
But
right.
That's not the same as saying concepts make a difference.
You say concepts make a difference, it means that concepts are the condition for understanding, but it's the understanding of those concepts that is the condition for more understanding.
I also need to be paka to hear the explanation.
The hearing, right. Of, hearing of the sounds, so it's not just the words.
No, but hearing Dhamma also as a concept of hearing Dhamma is also have to be kusala vibhava to hear the Buddha word. It had to be a good deed you done in the past to mm-hmm. listen to those words also.
That's another point.
Another point.
Because even the word anatta, everyone says anatta everywhere, but only when there's the right explanation of this that there can be the real
yes,
understanding.
No problem with need understanding to understand, that's fine. But to understand what needs to be explained.
I think the example Sarah gave was a good one about if you looked at the Thai characters or if you look at Spanish characters, that wouldn't mean anything. And then if you looked at Chinese characters, you would have understanding of those words if there were the right accumulation. So it's not the actual object, so to speak, or what you see or what you hear even. It's the understanding of what is heard. So it always has to come back to the understanding. Yeah.
Can only the sound be conditioned for right understanding? Can the sound, only the sound, can it condition right understanding?
Only the sound, no.
So what condition understanding?
Understanding itself, at least. Thinking with understanding.
The meaning, about reality.
Yes.
Not just the sound.
Right.
What about the word?
Also, we need the understanding to understand the meaning of the word.
If there is no considering at all, can there be any understanding?
No.
So when the Buddha said that I leave you the Dharma, he doesn't mean he just leaves Tipitaka in Thai, which I can't even understand.
But I mean, there need to be something there to be considered, right? So that's something to be considered. If it's five trunk elephant, it cannot be considered with that maybe not a good example.
It's just the object of considering, just right. what can be heard and what can be considered and what can be understood. But it's the considering of the meaning that conditions the understanding. We can't just say the book or the sound conditions understanding.
No. It's like the four factors of enlightenment, of stream entry.
What are the four factors?
The first factor is like now. You
hearing about Dharma. So not right. just the words on their own. It has to be the hearing of the meaning.
But we are talking about yoniso manasikara, the third factor.
So what is that?
The third factor. But I'm talking about we need the first and second factor.
So what is the first factor?
First factor and second factor are like now.
What is it now?
Could be 1, 2, 3 now. Hearing Dharma from the person with confidence.
Vincent. Concepts are necessary, but yes. they are not what makes a difference.
I know what you mean. Without understanding, without knowing the meaning. But if we never heard about all Dharma Anatta, we never have the chance to consider it. So this concept, this concept.
What is concept?
The all Dharma Anatta.
Depends how it's understood, doesn't it?
But right, right.
What you're trying to convey is a truth, not a concept.
Okay.